Welcome to Building 72, the podcast brought to you by the Entertainment Arts and Engineering Program at the University of Utah. Thank you for joining your hosts, Adam Hunter and Corinne Lewis, to talk about the video game industry and, you know, probably other stuff.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Building 72. I'm super excited to be here today with my friend Adam, as usual, and I'm Corinne Lewis, and we are here with one of my favorite students who I've known for a long time, Darren Flowers. Darren, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, everybody. Like Corinne said, I'm Darren Flowers. I am a technical engineer at Raytheon, aka Collins Aerospace. Right now, I'm a technical engineer over there. And I've been there for the past 2 years, but yeah, that's me. And I also graduated from the University of Utah 2019, cohort 7. So yeah.
Yep. And a bachelor's degree is also from the U. You have a special bachelor's degree.
Yeah, I do. Environmental production art. Yeah, I love that degree.
Yeah, I love that the U has that, but you know, you were one of the students who, because there was starting to be a lot of students that wanted to do that degree, that they were like, you need to make a real degree. So, yeah. So it's like, but wait, those are real degrees, but there were a lot of people who were doing them outside of a program or a department. And so that's why, you were part of the trouble.
Exactly. They were like, you guys got to stop coming to our office, trying to make your own stuff up. And we're like, well, give us what we want.
right. Now we have it, actually, which is kind of why we're here doing this podcast, because we have students that want to know answers.
Heck yeah. Pioneers, you know?
Right? So how did you decide to make the transition from, you were doing undergrad, you found something you liked enough to make your own degree about it, basically. Mm-hmm. How did you go from that to making the decision to go to grad school and continue that down that path?
So I would say it first started with, I was doing like the basics, like doing your general requirements and stuff like that. And I felt like I wanted to know more about the art side, and I wanted to be a really good artist, because that's what I was always really passionate about, is the art side of video games. And I didn't feel like I had enough classes that could really enforce those skills. Because I think at the time I probably would have taken half the classes I would have taken if I would have just did the regular track.
Yeah.
And I remember my roommate, Nick Simmons, he had got his own track, and he was like, yo, man, this is what I'm doing, and these are the classes I get to make. And I was like, wait, you get to have like 2 environment art classes? You get to have like, you get to take that class 2 times, and it counts as like 8 credits or whatnot. And I was like, I need to do this too, because I need the practice. I need that like that skill to be like polished down. So I remember talking to Ryan, and I remember him giving me advice, and he was kind of like my, I can't remember what they call it, but he was like a teacher's assistant.
Oh yeah.
Over the whole process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. like not a TA, but I'm sorry, not teacher assistant, but it was like,
he was your advisor.
Mm-hmm. Advisor. Yes. He was my advisor for the degree.
Right.
He was helping me get all my classes and all that stuff figured out. And I guess that was like kind of the beginning. And then when I actually finished it, I was like so much happier, because I felt like it got me a lot farther than some of the kids that may have taken the regular track.
Yep.
You know,
you're right.
Yeah.
Because those classes, especially because like the hard surface modeling classes that we have and had, like one of them is, hey, you can hear my dog. one of them is vehicles, and the other one is like something else. I can't remember what. Yeah. So it would make sense to do it a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. And it was fun, and it was cool, because once you've been through it like 1 or 2 times, you can almost become like a mini TA in itself, where you go into classes and you're able to give other people advice, like, hey, I like your art, you know, how can I do this, how can I do that? And I think that was also really nice, because I think people get better at art when you also have people that are like-mindedly want to get better at art. Yeah. And you kind of can critique each other and help each other evolve, you know?
Yep, for sure. Yeah. Did you TA for us, or did you just go directly to Collins?
In
grad program.
I never TA'd. I just had the internship job, which I think was kind of like the same mm-hmm. Like, so he's like, either you could TA or you can do your intern. And I knew some people were kind of like doing both, whether they're up at like the doing like the, yeah, the games for like the hospitals, mm-hmm, like the serious games, I think is what it was called.
Yep. Yeah.
And there was a couple opportunities, but you know, I stuck with the Rockwell.
Well, I vaguely remember that Ryan talked you into coming to grad school because we had that project at Collins. And so it was like, he knew you'd be really good fit for that. It's, yeah. I mean, it sounds like it was true. Like you, yeah. You're still there.
Exactly. You know, he got me in a really good position. You know, Ryan was actually the guy that got me the position with Brandon before we were talking earlier. So mm-hmm. Ryan has been the bearer of good news my entire life in Utah. Well, so if anyone's listening,
huge fan of yours. So as we are all are really.
Well, no, I appreciate that. You guys are definitely a huge fan of mine because you guys definitely developed a lot of my skills and creativity. And that's, you know, that's why I'm still in Utah.
Yeah.
I like it here.
Yeah. It's a weird place. It gets under your skin, I think.
Wow, Utah for the win, man.
Well, Utah for the win. I like that attitude, Adam.
So did you have, you said like, I forget the term you literally just used it and it skipped my mind, but you said like advancing your skills. So did you have art skills and an art background before you started college at all? Or was it kind of your first exposure to it?
So like, I would say I never really got into the whole like 3D art stuff. I just knew I was addicted to Skyrim. I loved Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And I knew that all I did in high school was play video games. And I used to draw like so much. Like I was really big into drawing, and art class was always just my favorite class. So when I decided to figure out my degree, I was like, you know what? I want to do something that allowed me to be creative to some degree, because creating things has just kind of like been a passion. So when I got here, it was just like, oh, I found a place. One, Utah's beautiful. Two, I think you guys were ranked like 2 in the nation at the time for like video games and stuff like that. So when I got here, I was like, this is the place. And I realized
that's what Brigham Young said when he got here. There it is.
Homeland, baby. Let's go. So I'm not sure if I answered that question completely, but
No, you did. Cause yeah. I'm a person who, you know, I love art but I can't make art in any form. I can't really draw. I can't illustrate. I can't model anything like that. And I found that it's kind of interesting that some students, their very first exposure to definitely 3D art, but even maybe art in general, is in like college. They're like, yeah, I haven't been an artist up until this point. And then you have the flip side of that coin, which is people who are like, yeah, I've been drawing since I was like 5, because I love to draw and doodle and everything like that. And then for those people, I found that it clicks really easily to like, oh yeah, 3D art made sense because I've been doing this 2D. And so making that one dimension step wasn't very hard for me.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I would say 3D art was the most frustrating art that I've ever learned in my entire life. Like hands down, like Photoshop, easy. You know, Photoshop is like, you just got to learn how to use the tablet, got to learn how to use the pen, do what's right, that's feel comfortable without giving yourself carpal tunnel. But like, with like 3D art, there's so much stuff like, how do you achieve the things that you want to do in the program? What plugins do you need to have? How do you render? How do you set up an IK rig? Do I need to know a little bit of programming to do this? What is correct geometry? How do you UV? Like there's so many small layers to it. And I think first starting it, when I first did it, I was like, why am I even doing this? Like, this is way too complicated. Like, why can't I just have a pencil and a piece of paper?
Right.
And then once I started developing those skills, and then I was like, oh, this looks cool. And then you get a little bit better. And you're like, oh, this looks a little bit better than last time. I'm like, this is awesome. And then you finally get to see that final result. You know, it just makes you feel really happy.
So did you draw like the whole time you were a kid? Like, were you just always drawing?
I would say I drew most of the time because I was ungrounded and that was the only thing. I was a bad kid when I was a kid, but I did draw a lot. Like it's funny, from being grounded all the time, I learned I love to draw. And then that's the passion that I was mm-hmm. like, you're like, you're acting up in school. You're going to stay in your room.
You're like, joke's right. on you, pal.
Joke's on you. I'm developing a passion.
I'm sure your parents are probably really happy about that.
Oh, absolutely. They tell me they're proud of me every day, and I love it. So it all panned out perfectly. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like they were very involved in your education. So.
Oh, yeah.
Kept you in line.
I definitely wouldn't be able to. Yeah, they paid for a lot of good stuff for me. So especially that first year, whew, being out of state, that was no joke.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But yeah.
It was a great decision to come here. I know.
Oh, yeah. It was especially by yourself. I feel like a lot of kids, I wouldn't say a lot, but like maybe 50-50. I don't know. They either stay home and they can go home and be with their parents on a weekend. But coming out here and then watching my mom fly away, and I'm like, okay, you're by yourself now, buddy. Time to figure it out. That was a little scary.
Well,
but I was fine.
And Utah's got kind of a funky reputation. Like, I don't think it's deserved, honestly. I mean, you know, it's hard. I think a lot of parents like that reputation because it's like, there's no drinking at this school. And there's, you know, it seems like it's going to be a really like sober experience. And we just play video games here a lot.
So, oh, sorry. No, I was going to say, do you have any advice from being like the lone kid coming to Utah, coming to a different school? Because there's a lot of students who are in your shoes. Maybe not right now, because maybe kids are still at home and everything like that. But was there anything that really helped you kind of like get through the process? Or do you have any advice for students who maybe are finding themselves similarly like either lost or like afraid to make that big step or anything like that?
I would say if you're coming Utah, let's start from the very beginning. So if you're coming, you're graduating from high school, you're coming to Utah, you're young 18, 17 year old kid. I would say if you have the opportunity to go to orientation, try to meet people at orientation, get numbers, talk to that person maybe a couple times before you get here. Go to get lunch with them, go hang out with their room, meet their roommates, you know, meet your roommates, get roommates, you know, don't go get your own room because you're going to be lonely in your own room. So get somebody you can hang out with, you know, try to get as many people as you can to meet that are like-minded, you know, go to the events that EAE hosts. If you're in the EAE track, you know, try to make video games with other people and just, don't be afraid to get out of your skin. Cause that's like, and that's kind of hard to say, don't be afraid to get out of your skin. Like, cause that's what a lot of people suffer with or kind of nervous to do, but you know, take small steps, you know, meet one person a day, you know, just say hi or something like that. And as far as like the art side, I would say, no, if you haven't done it before, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be a lot of things you do not know how to do, but there are a lot of capable people in the EAE track. And there are a lot of people that are TAs and are faculty members, as far as teachers and whatnot, that are capable of teaching you. I know that Ryan was like a wealth of knowledge. I remember I was going to Ryan so many times. He was like, Darren, like, you got to figure some of this stuff out on your own. It's like, you come to me like almost every day, buddy. Like, you're here for like 2 to 3 hours. You got to like do some, go on YouTube. I got to teach other classes. I can't stay here for you the whole day. I'm like, all right, Ryan, fine. I won't lean on you too much. He's like,
yeah, he's on Twitch like 24/7. Come on, really.
Exactly. Streaming his butt off.
Yeah, like he loves this.
He loves it. So yeah, I would just say the biggest thing would be is be okay with trying to get out of your skin and really try to stress yourself because this is the place to do it.
Thank you for that. That's something that's, I've heard that from other people, but it's something that that's not the story that I did in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I can only imagine, you know, when I'll talk with students or I'll meet students and they'll be like, yeah, my whole family's in Wisconsin and I'm here by myself.
Yeah.
And so I can only imagine how kind of intimidating of a thing that is, especially going into something that is as weird and quirky as video games. Right. Like, it's not like I'm going off to study medicine because it's this established whatever, but it's like, hey, I'm going to go make video games with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
And I hope it works.
Exactly.
Well, I think we all, I think our staff and faculty feel a lot of responsibility around that because we know people come from all over the world really to come and do this program.
Oh yeah.
And it is scary. I remember like the second cohort we had a student who came from India, had never even been on a plane. Can you imagine making the decision to come from India to where? Utah? And he was like, I want to make games. I know what I want to do. And he knew which company he wanted to go to. And he works there.
That's a passionate man right there.
Yes.
And he knew exactly what on it.
It's one of the most awesome things when we see people who, you know, come in. And, you know, it happens on both sides, right? Like you come in and you know what you think you want to do, but then you change your mind, or you come in and you are determined to do a thing. And it's really fun for us to like help you get to do that. So
exactly.
I thought you were going to work at Raytheon though.
No, I did not think I was going to do that. I thought I was going to work with like God of War, like make the next God of War game, or I don't even know. I kind of, like when I first got here, I was like, you know what? I just want to make games. I just want to make art.
Right.
That's all I really cared about. I was like, if I work with a small studio, big studio, like who cares? It's about doing what I want to do is what I always kind of envisioned it as. Because I like having that freedom of being able to make my own decisions and my own ideas and trying to make those come to fruition. So, I feel like my mind is kind of always changing a lot, you know? And I think that's what kind of happened when I got here, especially with going to like, oh, I'm going to do this track. No, I'm going to do my BUS degree. Yeah. I might leave Utah. No, I might not leave Utah. I'm going to stay and do my grad program, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the grad program. Should I go to a video game company? No, I'm going to stay with Raytheon. And now I'm working, trying to do my own thing now with what I have in my side hustle. So yeah, it's nice. A lot of different things going on.
Yeah, you know, I think our paths are our paths, right? Like and your undergrad is just, I always say it's the time that you should be getting information, you know. People will take classes and fail and they think it means they're a failure. I'm like, no, it's just information. That just wasn't the thing for you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you do have a hoop you have to eventually get through to graduate, but you know, it doesn't mean anything about you. But if you can learn stuff about yourself, like you learn that you are really good at persevering through stuff that you think you hate.
Yeah.
You know? It's not a bad thing to know as a human. Yeah.
That's a good skill. You know, like, hey, this sucks, but I got to do what I got to do to meet the final goal. You know, I think I learned a little bit of that from my father being in the military. So I think that kind of rubbed off on me. But yeah, that's definitely a big truth.
I guess I knew that about your dad, but that makes a lot of sense to me. So yeah, because it's, you know, hard work pays off, you know. It's not, it talent helps, but hard work matters.
Absolutely. That's like one of the big differences between someone that's talented and someone that works hard. Because when you work hard and you're talented, that's when the chips start falling in your favor big time.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
This podcast brought to you by positivity.
Comes in a cup.
So with Corinne talking about like paths leading to different places and everything like that, and with you ending up at Raytheon, which is not Santa Monica Studio, not doing God of War, what kind of stuff do you do on like a daily basis? Because like I know when we were speaking before, you said you did some managing stuff. Like what is a day in the life of Darren as far as what you're currently doing right now?
So my life is not the most exciting. So I would say
I doubt that very much.
Well, I also think it gives your brain time to work on your side hustle too.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'll give you a full day's work. And then each day is kind of different. So I'll give you a quick synopsis. So I wake up like everyone else. I go to work. Typically, my days consist of me doing some type of document tests. Probably have maybe 4 to 5 meetings a day with different, we have like scrum teams. It's almost like any video game company would have. You just meet up with your team and say, hey, what are you guys working on? Do you guys have any impediments? How can we alleviate some of these impediments so that we can get our work done quicker, faster, better? From there, I may do some testing on our systems and make sure like, hey, we're shipping out this stuff for a Korea or for the United Kingdom or for Afghanistan. And we need to make sure that the systems are appropriate so that we can sell these products. I may do the testing for that. Then, you know, some days they might say, hey, Darren, we need you to fly out to St. Louis to do some tuning on our system. So they might fly me out and I might do like texturing work. So they'll bring up their environment the environments that they have and say, hey, these trees are too dark. We need to change these trees. The ground is not responding the way that we want it to. So I'll do all those like visual fixes. And then
we should probably say to everybody, if you don't know what Raytheon does, it's a sim. I mean, the part that you're in, because Raytheon is a gigantic simulation company, right?
Yeah. They basically simulate the whole world. So think of it as like flight school, like 2020, like Microsoft's flight program. Mm-hmm. But instead of it looking like real, it's almost like Nintendo 64 version. So we're the Nintendo 64 version of flight 2020. No. So it's a very simple job. So that's what I basically do. And then for like the stuff I do on the side, I make music and I'm working on a 3D character, virtual influencer that I will potentially publish and, you know, make content for as far as music and videos for like TikTok and Instagram.
So fun.
Yeah. I know. I'm excited. Mm. Life is going pretty good.
And right, you're paying the bills. So that's nice. Yeah,
exactly.
Every artist can say that.
Not many. You know, and I know a couple that are struggling. I've seen the struggle. It's definitely real.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's one of the things about the pandemic is that I think our experience has been that our artists are getting jobs because they don't have to relocate because everybody's working from home now. So that seems to be a little bit easier. But next time you go to St. Louis, I hope you're eating really good barbecue there.
Oh, you have no idea. When I go to St. Louis, I make it a field trip because you know they give you the corporate card and you. And this man, I'm going out, I'm getting lobster, I'm getting boiled crab, I'm going to Pappy's, I'm getting the ribs, $20-$40 plates, I don't care.
Lordy.
It's amazing. I love it.
It's amazing.
It is.
We started this conversation before we started recording talking about tacos. So it's all about food. Like maybe it's because we're recording in the afternoon. I don't know.
Exactly.
We can just change it to the taco cast and then.
We're going to have a food podcast. It might match your like Facebook. You were talking about your Facebook stuff. Like you're always getting like brownies and like cupcake recipes and.
Yeah.
There we go. We got to fill that niche of people who love food podcasts and people who love video games.
And video games. Yes. I am that. That is me. 100%.
That's awesome.
So, Darren, what's the favorite part of your job? Like you just mentioned a whole bunch of stuff. Like some days I get to do this and some days I get to do this. So as far as, and then you mentioned all your side stuff that you got going.
Yeah.
On. In regards to your professional job, like your 9 to 5, what is your favorite part? Like, what is the thing that you wish you either could do more of, or just like the thing that when you're done, you're just like, yep, that's it. That was the satisfying thing.
So with my job right now, my creativity, the creative part of it kind of is like diminished a lot. Mm-hmm. But when I was doing a lot of the 3D modeling, I would say that was my favorite thing to do. Cause that's like what I went to school for. That's what I always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And right now I would say what I'm doing more is more like manager type stuff. So I've like moved on from the creative aspect of my life, which sucks. Cause that was like my favorite part. Yeah. So for the past 2 years, I've been doing more like manager jobs, which isn't the greatest, but prior to that, it was definitely the 3D art. That was the best part of my job. And I still love it. But if I were to pick something right now, I would say the best part would be working a little bit with the Unreal Engine. Hmm. I can't talk about too much. But we do some, we're working with doing some Unreal Engine stuff, and that's been really fun. Just to figure out some things with that and how to make that stuff work for what we're doing, which is nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I don't know why that happens, but it's like if you're really good at your job, they try to promote you out of doing your job.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think like the best thing would be to like, can I only do this other thing in the morning? And can I do the thing I really like to do, which is why you think I'm good in the afternoon, but it just never works out like that. It's so funny.
No, Because a lot of times, especially with the COVID thing, like so many people have been let go.
Yeah.
Especially with, or furloughed rather. So we had a couple of people that have retired and some people that have furloughed. So like they just have days when they can't work and they think they make like half what they are paid or whatever.
Right. That furlough thing is scary. Ugh.
Yeah. So right now it's more of like, because there's less people, I do more jobs. Hmm. And because the jobs that my job is very specific, which was art. But since the people that aren't doing those jobs, the same jobs as me, they're not art, I have to take on those responsibilities.
Right.
So
I think it's going to be so interesting what happens in the next little while, you know, it's with the vaccine and, you know, what is this all going to look like after?
I mean, I know.
I believe there will be an after.
I know that's all we can hope for, right? Right. I'm tired of masks. I really am.
I mean, considering you're going into your office, I bet you are. So yeah, I'm teaching in person in a mask, and that's taken some getting used to for sure.
Yeah. Like I can never tell what anyone's saying, especially when someone has that plastic little visor over them. And then you got to talk through the mask. And I'm like, huh?
Excuse me? I know. Students will ask me a question and they have masks and I have masks and I have to like go stand over next to them so that I can hear what they're saying. I'm like, this is not helping.
Like defeating the purpose of the mask.
But they've been good. They've been really good. I know I've heard other teachers have had, you know, issues before. Not really at the U, but you know, so we're getting through it. It'll be okay.
That's good news.
Yeah.
So do you think it's important to, you mentioned, you know, not being able to do that art and stuff like that. Do you think, and this maybe sounds like a loaded question, do you think it's important to, if you do get promoted out of where you are or whatever, or you're not doing what you love in your job, is it important to keep doing that stuff on the side, either as a hobby or a hustle or anything like that? Like,
yeah.
Let me rephrase that question, because obviously the answer is yes. Yes, it's important. Yeah. How have you found that it has benefited you, or have you done things that have been like, yeah, I purposely dedicate an hour a day where I can do X or anything like that? How have you been able to keep that fire burning when you're not doing it in your professional job?
So that's a good question, because let me try to answer that, because that's a loaded question right there. So
I am the loaded
question. Welcome to Adam.
Yeah, the more podcasts you listen to, you will notice I am the king of those.
I'm going to do it one more time. Okay, well, I'm going to answer it for you. I'm going to give you the best answer I can give you. So first, yes, I do think it's very important for you to have something that you can do on the side that you are passionate about, because I think like these big companies like this, and this doesn't mean it's like every company. I'm not trying to make Rockwell or Raytheon sound bad, but when you work there for a certain period, they want to upgrade you because they want you to want to progress through the system so that, you know, they want you to be happy at your job, and they want you to get further and further up, because you, like every other job, people are retiring. They need to fill spaces, you know?
And they're invested in you. Yeah.
Exactly. It's investment. They want you to be there as long as they can. Like the people I work with are all like in their 50s, 60s, have been there for 30, 40 years. Wow. Some of them are in their 70s, still working in the office, you know. So I would say definitely 100%. I found more happiness, in all honesty, working, doing my own side stuff than my main job. Yeah. And the main reason for that is because I have the freedom to decide what I want to do when I get home. Now, the caveat to that is sometimes when I'm working at a computer for 9 hours, the last thing I want to do is immediately go home and sit at a computer for another five hours. Yeah.
Yes. You're talking to two writers who write a lot during the day and come home and want to write. And it's like,
it's like, you know what? I like writing, but do I want to sit here on my butt? Like, maybe I want to go on a walk. I want to talk to my friends. I want to go out and about and like mingle with people, you know, not go crazy in my room. So yeah, I get home sometimes, and sometimes it's like, I don't want to, but the other days, like a Saturday or Friday comes, it's like, you know what? I feel like I'm inspired. I want to do this. And then when you get going, it's like that passion kicks back in. And the next thing you know, you've been doing it for 4 hours, and then maybe you might take a break, play a video game for an hour. Then you're like, no, I'm gonna do it again. And then you're back at your computer for another 4 hours. And that's something that I experienced over the Christmas break when I just working. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to work. And next thing you know, I'm working 10-hour days on my break, like it's a full-time job. but in reality, I'm just having fun.
Right.
You know, so.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that too when I get going on a project that I'm working on. I'm working on an RPG right now.
What's RPG? Like a game?
Like a role-playing game. Yeah. It's with some educational psychology professors who don't know how to make games. And so we're working on something for kids on the autism spectrum.
Ooh, that's awesome. That's
cool. It's been fun. It's really stretching me for sure. My skills are, I don't know if I'm up to the task, but I'm trying.
Yeah. See, that's one thing I've dealt with. It's like almost like that little bit of your self-doubt, like, can I do this? But I've honestly surprised myself when you get in those funks, you're like, I don't know if I can do it. And then you just spend like 2-3 more days and then the answer finally comes to you and you're like, I figured it out.
Yeah. Sleeping then, is helpful.
Yeah. It all comes to in your dreams. And
it does. It's weird how that happens. I don't know what that is.
That's life for you right there.
That's art.
Art?
Mm-hmm.
I like that better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like the way you described it, because I was actually just talking with someone who is looking to hire some of our students. And he was saying he's looking for talent, sure, but he's really looking for that drive. And I know we use the word like passion a lot, but mm-hmm. the way he described it was, you know, I want the people who do stuff at work all day and then go home and still want to do more of it.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of thing. And in my personal experience, like those are the kind of people, if all people have those kind of passions, but like artists specifically, those are the ones who like, I show up to work and my buddy comes up to me and he's like, hey, look at this thing I drew on the bus on the way to work today. And I was like, but you're going to be doing 8 hours of art now. He's like, yeah, but I was drawing this too. So
yeah.
That seems to be the people who get kind of the most fulfillment out of what they're doing.
Exactly. And I feel like when you find that niche and you're comfortable in what you're doing, that is so rewarding. And I think a lot of it is, personally for me, is I feel like sometimes I don't feel like I should be where I'm at or the skill level that I want to be at. And it's kind of like demoralizing. But then once you see yourself progressing and progressing, you're like, wow, I'm getting better. This becomes easier. This becomes funner. Like I'm enjoying this more and more and more. And the biggest part for me was trying to enjoy all of the process,
mm-hmm.
you know, because sometimes it's so frustrating. For instance, where you're trying to learn how to rig a character and you're like, why isn't this working? I don't want to do this anymore. I hate rigging.
Everybody hates rigging.
Yeah. And then it finally happens and you're like, I did it. This is the happiest I've been in. Like,
I am the god of all rigs. Bow down before me.
It's like, now don't ask me to do it again. But
right. I don't remember how it happened, but it finally happened. I know.
Yeah,
I've had that happen. I love that, Darren, because I think it reminds me how much I love spending time with you when you were in the program, because you were always pushing yourself and everybody else around you, you know, but not pushing like in an arrogant way at all. Mm-hmm. It was like, let's get better. I remember that from you. And so
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you're happy. And I'm really happy to hear that you're doing side stuff, which I cannot wait to see.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're almost out of time. Holy crap.
Are we seriously?
Yeah.
You were not lying when you said the 45 minutes was going to be fast.
Hard just like that. But we have rapid fire questions for you now.
Oh, well, I'm having a good time. So let's see. Well,
okay. You ready?
We love it all, but we love doing this. The rapid fire is fun.
All right. I'm going to do my fastest. All right.
You ready?
So what
hit me with your best shot.
What's the first video game you ever remember playing?
Oh, Super Mario on the Super Nintendo.
Super Mario World then.
Yeah. Super Mario World on Super Nintendo. I had Super Nintendo back in the day.
Was that your first, the system that you owned, or did your family have an NES?
We had a Super Nintendo. That was the first system. My mom bought it for herself, and then I just played it. I actually have the Super Nintendo with me.
Oh my gosh.
In my room right now. It might be worth a lot in the future.
Nice. Well, you know, we do have a museum in our building. You could always donate it if you
did. And we are in need of a Super Nintendo. It's the one like of that generation that we don't have.
You know, I might keep it because, you know, mother, it's my mother's. I gotta keep it, you know. I gotta do right for my mother.
Yep, straight up. Also, I love your mom, so
thank you.
She's a woman of my, I'm sure that we are very very similar.
So, the answer to this one might be Skyrim, because you mentioned it earlier, but what is your favorite game of all time and
favorite
why?
Game? Ooh, I would say...
Or one of your favorites, if you can.
One of my favorite. I would pick the God of War series. Easily. Okay. That would, because that was the first time I ever played like a rated M game, and that game was just... It blew my mind. Like, my parents should have never bought me that game. I remember it closely. I was thinking about it. I was in the GameStop. I looked at the shelf, and it was either Shadow of Colossus or God of War 1. And I went for God of War 1. I never looked back. Best decision ever.
That's such an awesome game. And it just got better every single
game. The story. Like, the story is probably one of the best narrative games I've ever played in my entire life.
Amazing. I know. And 3, do you remember the opening sequence of 3?
Oh, my gosh.
You're on Gaia.
Everything changed. Yes, you know, it was so amazing.
I did like the every time a God of War game comes out, they literally break every expectation you could possibly think of for a game. In
Corey Barlog knows what he's doing with
for sure. That man is a god. When it comes, he's the God of War, the God of everything.
I played 2018 in a weekend when my wife took our kids down to their parents' house. So it was just me. And so I played all of God of War 2018. And it was very, very harrowing, because I was like, wow, I think I saw a little bit more of, now that Kratos is a dad. Well, I guess he was a dad before, but you know, now that he's a dad, I maybe saw a little bit of myself in Kratos. And and what does that say about me as a person?
Boy,
dad is really good.
I do that to my son though. He's 7 years old, and I always go, boy, come here,
fetch me my axe.
That's awesome. I guess that's probably the next question is, like, if you could have worked on any game, it would have been that one.
It would have been that one. And I feel like the only reason I never really pursued that was, one, I didn't want to move to California.
Yeah.
And two, I always saw myself as more of a hard surface modeler. I never was really that into like people, creating like people. I always liked more robots and stuff like that. So I could see myself like working with games like Wolfenstein, or working for like Call of Duty, like guns and stuff like that.
Right.
But I knew that I love Call of Duty, but for what they would want, I didn't think I would want to pursue that type of art.
Yeah.
And that's why I never really did that.
Yeah. It's a very organic game. It's totally.
Yeah. Totally. Absolutely. Okay.
Sub follow-up question, new to the list, because I genuinely want to know your answer. Let's say you have a magic wand and you can give yourself any skill set or desire that you want, and then you can go back and work on God of War. Would you want to, like, I wish I had the passion to do more organic stuff, or like, I actually wish I could have designed the combat in that game, or is there anything that you would have loved to have worked on if the sky was the limit?
If the sky was the limit, I would say
you wanted another skill set, but Darren is really good at what he's
doing. I'm really good. I would say I would want to be better at the technical stuff, honestly. So I would say, like, and that's, it's like so many job titles in gaming, but I would say, like, maybe like the rendering, knowing how to do rigging really well, animation, because those things are, I feel as like the artistic part is really good. But if you don't have those other abilities, like the rigging, the animating, the rendering, that really stifles or like prevents you from making your character really come to life.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that those skills are very important, because you can tell the difference. You can have an amazing 3D character, and then you have really bad animation and a really crappy rig, and it's like, ugh. And your render looks bad. It's like, oh, God. I see
that all the time.
Yeah. So,
and the students are trying. They're working on it. So
exactly. You know, we were all there. And if you guys are listening, I was there too. I was definitely there. I remember my first project. I remember my friends was like, dude, this is not good. But hey, it's like, hey, this is your first project and you're going to get better.
Give me a minute.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, it took me 6 years, but hey.
Well, and it's kind of funny looking back now, because like one of the very first things you talked about today was like the feedback process and the iteration and the receiving input and things like that. And that's what you need, right? Regardless if you're an artist or you're whatever, we need people checking up on us and just being honest and saying like, you know what, that sucks. Yeah. This part's super good, but this part needs the work, because then exactly. that's how we make games like God of War, is when you're constantly going back to stuff like that.
Absolutely. I think, and I'm going to add just a little bit for all the people that are listening. I think the biggest thing to being a better artist, if you want to be the best artist you can be, is find people that are better than you and have them give you honest feedback and actually do what they tell you to do. Even if you don't think is right, just do it and see if it makes it look better. And then just keep experimenting, you know, because art is basically experimentation.
And practice.
Mm-hmm. And practice. Mm-hmm. And the more you practice, the better you'll be.
Absolutely. And that goes for writers too, by the way. I mean, all of that is.
No, first draft, perfect. Right out the door. Go for it.
I don't need to rewrite this.
Darren, who's your favorite Pokemon?
Ooh, that's, wow. That's a, wow, okay. Okay, I'm gonna do it. It's gonna be a loaded. I'm gonna do another one. Okay, so when I was a kid, Typhlosion, I think that's name. Typhlosion is a starter Pokemon, like the third fire type. Mm-hmm. I think had like the firing mohawk.
The fiery, like, yeah.
He was my favorite for the longest time. I would say shiny Charizard is also a complete BA mofo. Okay. All right.
We didn't necessarily say this had to be, you know, PG-13.
So. Okay. I want to respect the podcast, you know, so I didn't want to just come out here and blow off people's ears.
I mean, you've heard me swear before.
I know, but you haven't done it. You know, I like to imitate what you guys are doing. If I didn't hear nothing, you guys say anything, I'm not going
to. Fair enough. Fair enough. I try really hard not to when I'm recorded.
respect. So yeah, I would say those two. Typhlosion cool. And shiny black Charizard. Mega evolution, I think. Yeah, I think a mega evolution.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Adam's question, because I still have never played Pokemon for some dumb reason. I don't know what my problem is.
What? At least do you know about the shows or anything? Did you ever watch?
Yes. I mean, yes. I know who Pikachu is and all kinds of stuff.
So, see, well, that's why it's my question though, because you'll have people from different generations. You'll have people who only have the show experience.
Oh.
But most people in the gaming sphere have at least enough exposure to pick a favorite.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would probably just say I have to say Pikachu, just because that's probably the only one. And there's a Bulbasaur, right?
Yeah, that's like the Gen 1. Yeah. You know what you're talking about.
I do remember those. So, but they were kids games, and it was kind of like they came out right as I was like, I'm not a kid.
Yeah, I'm better than that.
I'll show them.
You and your silly Pokemon cards. Yeah,
I had to drop Calculus because of Pokemon, because my buddy lent me his Game Boy. He was like, hey, you should play this fun game. And sure enough, you do gotta catch them all. And the next thing I know, I haven't been paying attention to calculus for 3 weeks. And all of a sudden they're telling us about like differentials and stuff like that. And I'm like, derivatives, excuse me. And I was like,
I'm out.
I have no idea. I could not tell you, but my Growlithe is like level 46. So in your face.
In your face, people.
This tells you just a little bit more about Adam.
Adam is addicted to Pokemon. Or he was.
Adam has a very addictive personality. I don't play things like WoW and like Minecraft, because I know that the second I do, there goes the rest of my entire life.
100%.
Okay, we're coming down to the end of the rapid fires. So are you currently playing anything?
Oh my gosh, like? I haven't played a game. That's crazy. It's like when you start making games and you're doing stuff in your free time, like it's hard. But okay, let me answer the question. I keep talking and rambling. I would say last game I played was Monster Hunter World. Like I still am playing that game.
Yeah, it's big.
It's really big. Like.
Yeah.
It feels like no matter how much I play, I'm still terrible at it. And it's been like 300 hours I put into that game. And other than that, maybe some Call of Duty.
Nice. Yeah, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey forever.
Is that the pyramid one?
No,
like it's the Egyptian.
It's the one in Greece.
Origins is the pyramid.
Yes. I haven't played actually, and to be fair, I've kind of really completely transitioned to Valhalla now. So
Valhalla is, I hear that's a mixed bag of good and bad. Like it's good, but it's buggy. I hear that's buggy.
Oh my gosh. It breaks all the freaking time.
Really?
And that's not the first F word I was going to use. Yes, like I'll have something really exciting happen, but you get to raid things and like, because you're with all your Vikings and you go raid monasteries, and Assassin's Creed is so like morally wrong, but also I'm playing, I don't know. I'm feeling bad about,
you know, sometimes it's good to get that side of you out there.
I guess
just play that.
So I don't murder my husband. So that's, yeah. I mean, we have been stuck in a house together like nonstop for a year. So.
It's like, she's like, you should be lucky I'm playing Valhalla tonight. You lucky man.
Also, a lesson to all of the namers out there, don't have back-to-back games in your series start with the same letter. Because then people do exactly what you did, Darren.
Origins, like, well, and Odyssey.
It's like, well, which one was when?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what Odyssey looks like, honestly.
Oh, it was actually quite good. The if you play the girl, her name's Cassandra. The voice acting is stellar. Like, it's really fun. Really, really fun.
Okay. So I'm on my computer now. Might as well look it up.
Yeah.
Do it.
Darren, it's the perfect time of year to play because it's in Greece and it's hot in the summer. So it's like you're running around this gorgeous green, you know, landscape of Greece. And it's like, I need to not be in Norway.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Corinne, how you doing? Let's change the podcast.
Yeah, let's talk about
how you doing, Corinne.
Exactly. I see the Spartans. These are those, like, you guys are playing with like the Spartans and stuff like that. That's what it looked like. They got the red. Yeah. I thought the Greeks were like blue.
Yeah, you go back and forth between the Athenians and the Spartans. It's really fun. Ooh. If you're looking for something new to play and also have 300 hours.
See, I do not have that much time.
No, of course not. But the nice thing about it is you don't have to, it's actually really easy to dip in and dip out. Let us all talk about video games. So I am recommending it. So, but Cassandra is the way to go.
Cassandra?
Yes.
Okay. I'll play her because I hear that she was the best character whole game.
By far. Yeah. The voice actor, the woman who does her, is just so good.
Stunning.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because I like playing as girls and sometimes in video games, you know?
Yeah, me too. I like to go back. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm playing Ivor, the male version of Ivor in Valhalla.
Valhalla? Oh, okay.
And that's the really interesting one in that it's the same character. You just choose the male
or female
version.
Yeah, the gender.
Yeah, that's a very interesting.
It's a little binary, but
yeah, but like that's a cool way of playing it where it's like the actions that they're doing don't have to be like, it's not like, oh, a man wouldn't
no
this,
and you can romance
wouldn't do this,
and you can romance men or women, whatever, it doesn't matter. And
so that's awesome.
I mean, I think they have tried to make it a little bit more gender neutral.
Yeah,
but Cassandra, I highly recommend that just because the voice actress is so good.
Yeah,
I guess
that's actor, awesome.
I guess the actress is the incorrect way to say that.
She's actress. Oh, okay. Voice actress or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna play that game. I'll play it. If I buy it, I'll let you know.
Yeah,
I'll
let me know.
My critique. I'll hit you up on Facebook.
That's good. I mean, yes. Or call me. You
know, yeah.
Phones. We I don't think have I have them in number. Our pockets. Who would have thought?
I don't think I have your number, Corinne.
Oh my gosh, Darren.
Okay, let's just give it out on the podcast.
Yeah. Right, my number is 555-5555.
You know, I used to give it out to everybody that when we all would go to GDC in case of jail. So
I think I do have your number if that's the case.
But I'll send it to you. You can just text me.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So here's our last question. Adam, are you going to do it?
Yeah. So you already gave advice for some artists and for some new students and everything like that. If you could go back in time and give either graduating Darren from either program or still going to school Darren a bit of advice, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your past self about life, the universe, everything, about where you are in your career, about art, about whatever, about Assassin's Creed Origins or Odyssey or whatever.
That's a good question because I feel like a lot of people say they would want to change stuff. And honestly, I feel like I'm in a decent place in my life. I don't think I would necessarily tell myself to change anything, but I would tell myself to go even harder. You know, I would say, take the extra hours to really learn the stuff that the teachers are telling you. because I've realized when I'm doing like my virtual character, the stuff that I'm working on and my rigging, my animating, my rendering, knowing how to render in Maya, knowing how to get correct lighting, talking to other artists that are really good and getting their feedback on like, hey, what does this look like? And just learning, I think that if I would have retained more information, I would be a little bit better than I am. And I think that would give me a big advantage. And I would say, don't stop working on art, because there was a period of time that when I graduated and I got my job, I was just like, I got a job, I'm good. You know what I mean?
That after grad school too. I was like, yeah, I can learn French or something. I've got so much time. And then,
yeah, no. And it's like that life. Exactly. Like that grind, that like understanding what you went to school for, it doesn't stop. You know, like if you are an electrician, you know, maybe the wiring for electrician work is going to change in the next 20, 30 years. So don't just stop learning about it, you know? So same thing goes for like 3D art and all those different things. So just try to retain it and practice and practice and practice and practice, because those skills are going to be very useful. And you never know. I never knew I would be working on stuff that I'm working on right now.
Right.
In my free time. And being able to say like, hey, I already know how to do this stuff, I never stopped doing this stuff, would have been so much more beneficial to me. So yeah. Awesome. Don't very stop, cool. People. Don't stop.
I love it. I love it.
Yes.
Very cool. Oh, Darren, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
And it goes by so fast like that, huh?
Yeah, it was nice. I actually had fun. We could do this again. I'm coming on next week. I'm just kidding.
So speaking of, we have plans for season two. We're going to have people come back and play their games that they made in school.
Wow, okay.
So we'll get you.
I won't be able to beat my game. I should probably buy my games.
Well, we're excited to, I mean, obviously excited to keep doing these. And so we'll have you back for sure.
Okay. I'm all about it. Thank you. It was fun. And I appreciate you guys reaching out to me and asking me to join. And we had a great conversation. It was definitely very fun hanging out with you guys.
This is hard for me because it makes me realize how much I miss everybody.
Yeah, Corinne has to, and I'm not joking, like Corinne has to like fight tears half the time when we end the podcast, because she's just like, oh.
It's like at graduation, I can't even go anymore because I just cry.
Well, if you guys want me to come in and critique artwork and tell these kids how to get good, I will come in and I will do my best. I'll do my best.
That is a plan, my friend.
As long as you promise to like,
I'm not going to hurt feelings on purpose, but if it does, I will apologize.
But you can't promise that it won't happen.
I can't promise that you won't get your feelings hurt, but I'll do my best not to intentionally do it.
Well, thanks again, Darren. Right. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks, no Darren.
See everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye.